Now, God makes a promise to David. So you have Eve, the mother of all humanity, Abraham, the father of all Judaism, Moses, the deliverer of the Jews from Egypt. And then let's look at David, the king of Israel. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which is just a bit more, right? Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7. You just keep going, and then if suddenly you see Kings and Chronicles, you went a little bit too far, and you go back. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, here's what God says. And he says, starting at verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they will dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. So I don't know if that's happened yet. They were disturbed previously. They got sent to Babylon. They came back. They didn't become a nation until 1947, and they still haven't. Well, let's look at the rest of this. Violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. Well, I see an afflicted nation still now, don't you? So there's a promise, but I haven't seen this promise realized in Scripture, but here it is. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. You see, David has just said, I want to build God a temple. And Nathan, the prophet, said, that sounds like a great idea. Go do it. And God, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, is telling David through the prophet Nathan, I'm going to build you a house. I don't need a building. Don't worry, I'll let your son build it. But I'm going to build you a house, the house of David, right? When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Now you'd think Solomon is that kingdom. Solomon, you know, they built the temple, they got it built, and Solomon, he had incredible wealth, the wisest person ever. The way the Bible tells the story about Solomon, he was everything. You know what's interesting about that? You don't find a lot of impact of Solomon on history. You don't find a lot of history books that have dug up stuff and said, here's this about Solomon, that's about Solomon, Solomon affected here, here's other nations that write about Solomon. It's kind of a strange and peculiar thing. You actually have, and I'm not one of these people who carries this idea, you actually have biblical scholars who say the sentence, if there was a Solomon, actually. Because people who study the Bible, I mean, they don't believe the Bible's the word of God, obviously, to say if, when the Bible says there was. But because they're historians, and because the Bible is a historical book, they look to it for information. But they're not convinced with the information. With the Bible as its own reference, there's Solomon. He's big and burly, you know. But outside of the biblical witness, nobody else was as interested in Solomon as Israel was. Now, it says the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, and she came and she brought wealth, and she said, boy, I've heard everybody talk about you. They don't know who the Queen of Sheba was. They don't know. The Queen of the South. They don't know. It's a strange and peculiar thing. So you would think that. You would think, God, he's going to establish a kingdom. And well, but that already happened. That happened in Solomon, and then Solomon bankrupted it by the way that he ran it. So his son was the first person, civil war after him, and then everything fell apart. I don't think that is it. And then I continue to read, and it makes the case more. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13 says this. Do you get bored at hearing my voice? I get bored at the sound of my voice. I do. No, but you got, I mean, thank you for your vote of confidence. That's cool. You know, anybody has my face on a dartboard would be less encouraged. But stopping to look down at these words and reading it gives a break, so it's not just the guy going on and on. Here's what it says. This descendant, this offspring after you, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever. Solomon didn't have forever. Solomon had civil war, and then they all got carried away to Babylon, and there's never been a king of Israel since Babylon. As not forever. And I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. See, now that sounds like Solomon. Because people tell me, and I believe in Scripture, that Jesus never sinned. He was without sin. That's why he was a perfect sacrifice. So this Scripture is, it's jerking me around a little bit. It's saying, come over here. No. Come over here. No. Come back. And it's the strangest thing. And it's the way that prophecy unfolds in Scripture. I find it not the clearest thing. I find that frequently in Scripture, you have what it meant to the people who were reading it that day. You have what it meant to the person who was writing it, to the people who were reading it. And then you have this written piece of literature that endures beyond the day and has effect on us in the room reading it. So when he says, I'll establish your kingdom, we're happy and we recognize there was a fulfillment in David's day. Solomon was king. And Solomon said, boy, oh God, I don't want to blow it. Will you make me smart? God says, I'll give you wisdom. You could have asked for wealth or strength. You didn't ask for those things. You asked for wisdom. I'll give them to you. And I'll establish you. And for as long as you're smart and following me, you'll be established. Solomon didn't follow the Lord. Solomon worshipped other gods. Solomon took many wives. He traded horses with Egypt. He even sacrificed his own children in fire. He blew it. No matter how much God has to give and to hold and to keep and establish you, he's not going to put up with these abominable behaviors out of people who say they're his. So if I say, Lord, I'm a Christian, I believe you're God. Well, the devil believes God is God. And if I say, Lord, I'm a Christian because I believe you're God and because what you have told me I will do. Well, there's a lot of people who say what they'll do. There's a lot of people who declare their allegiance. And God says, when I come to earth, am I going to find faith? And if you say, I believe that you're God and I know that Jesus is Lord and I will do and I will follow, oh God, help me to follow you because I fail. Will you guide me? Spirit of God, help me at every step to be careful and to know you. Well, there is a relationship forged in humility that seeks a closeness to God and a nearness to God and a following God. Oh God, please guide me. And this Messiah, this hero of God, is where we find this guidance. And this guy who God's talking about to David, well, I think David would have presumed that it was established in his son Solomon. I think he would have died a person who knew that he had just coronated his son and that God has promised me a house forever. I shall lay down and rest now. That would have been his experience of God's fulfilled promise in his life unto his death. And now we sitting here historically, we say, but Solomon blew it. God, if Solomon blew it, what are you doing here? You think Israel in Babylon wasn't worried about, like, God, this doesn't make sense. Do you think the people on the day after Jesus died on the cross, a bloody, violent death, weren't confused? And going, God, I thought this was the Messiah. What about this kingly line of David, these descendants who you've established, your steadfast love that will not depart from him? God, you promised in verse 16 of 2 Samuel 7, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the Messiah that these people are hoping for. Because they trust God's promise and they realize what we thought it was in Solomon, it wasn't that, so it must still be coming. What we thought it was that Moses had established, it stopped. Something is still growing and coming in the days of Jesus. Where is this prophet? Where is this descendant of Jesus? So from the first chapters of Genesis, tick, Eve, your descendants against the adversary, the devil. From the covenantal promise to Abraham, you will be a great multitude of people, and from you, the nations will be blessed. Tick. Moses, another deliverer like you, raised up from among your people. Tick. And then God's promise to David the king, your throne established forever. Tick.